Hey, everybody. Hope you're all staying safe with the pandemic. Can't believe I'm saying that. Feels like I'm living in a movie. I don't know about you, but just been spending my days trying to find ways to kill time while I'm social distancing. In fact, I've been posting videos on my YouTube channel and got a few there that you should check out. It's youtube.com/PaulMercurio, and you can subscribe too because we're posting new stuff every week. I don't know about you, but they say it's what the little things in life that matter. I thought that was so bogus and cliche, but I think it's actually true because during this social distancing, I don't know about you, but I'm spending my day just looking forward to little things. Like 4 days ago, 5 days ago, I ordered screws on Amazon. Yeah, screws. And the last 2 days, I've been tracking the packages. Yeah, that's my day now. So there we are. And also, follow me on social media at Paul Mercurio. And like I said, go to YouTube and check out my YouTube channel. We get a lot of cool videos we're posting every week. And subscribe and tell your friends, please. We want to get the word out with all this cool stuff we're doing. Also, my guest this week, Bobby Moynihan, great SNL actor, comedian, amazing characters on that show like Drunk Uncle. We talk about his days at SNL and also other cool stuff like working on sitcoms and voicing characters for Disney. So check it out. Bobby's a great guy and a friend, and we performed a bit together. And please stay safe out there and enjoy Bobby and check out the YouTube channel. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is really the first take of the intro. I swear to God, I'm not retaking this a second time. With me today, very, very funny actor, comedian, friend, somebody that I've had an honor to work with over at UCB a bit, on the ASCAT show. He's an actor, comedian. You know him from SNL, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, The Secret Life of Pets, and the sitcom, which should have still be running, Me, Myself, and I. We'll talk about that in a minute. He's the voice of Louie Duck on DuckTales Season 3, premieres April 4th on Disney XD and Disney Now. We don't have any time to say your name because the intro took so long. So thanks for being on the show.
Understandable.
No, it's Bobby.
Thank you for having me. It was great being here.
And Bobby Moynihan. What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good to hear you. Congrats on the show and season 3 and all that. And
thanks so much.
I've done the monologue on ASCAT and got to watch you work and do improv, and it's so great. And
thanks.
Yeah, and watching you work, watching your eyes, man, like you could see it all happening in your eyes when you're sitting there watching you. And do you have to do, I've always wondered this because I've not done any of this kind of work other than some commercial voiceover work, but when you're voicing a character for a show or a film, like what are you tapping into in terms of training? Because a lot of times you're in a booth, you're not getting fed your lines, or maybe you are. Sometimes you're with the other character in the scene, but you're not. Like, how is that different than, you know, working in the sitcom or working in a sketch?
It's definitely different because I feel like I'm very physical and rely a lot on that and facial expressions and stuff. And this is just the opposite. You know, no one can see you. It's just, and you kind of have to be a little more animated and goofy, you know, to do it. It's also very not often that you record with somebody. I've done a couple where people record together, but I'm mostly you're alone in a room reading from a script, and it's hard. It's also very humbling. I've been doing it for a while now. I've been lucky to be on a lot of cartoons, and you know, there was a period there where I was like, wow, I'm on a lot of cartoons, I'm great. And then all of a sudden you hear some other people and some of these voice actors are just, you just go like, oh no. Like, I was a guy who was on TV and got very lucky to do voices. Like, it really is a crazy art. And after doing it for so long, I have a lot of respect for people like Tara Strong and Eric Bauza, Dee Bradley Baker, these guys that, like, you know, this is their bread and butter, and they just do it so well. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Brian McFadden, a very funny comedian.
Sure.
He was the voice of the Serta sheep, and his father was the voice of Count Chocula, among others.
What?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so, and when you talk, if you don't know, like if I introduce you to Brian at a cocktail party, didn't tell you what he did, you'd almost guess, because he's just got that voice that just sounds like it could go into any direction. And he's so crazy good, and a lot of his stand-up is so good because it's smart and it's saying something, but he laces it with the voices, and he just, everything is spot on. It's like freaky talented. It's crazy. You know, I picture that scene in Mrs. Doubtfire where Robin is Williams is doing the voice, and he gets in an argument with the guy. And
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah,
I thought you meant the other Robin in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, exactly. I'm an idiot. I'm getting heckled on my own show. This is ridiculous. do you have to, mine's been voiceover commercials. So, you know, you're getting it from the person who's running the voiceover session, but not necessarily the director in terms of notes. In a situation of a movie or a TV show, is the director there with you giving you notes on your reads?
Yeah, it's also different. On live television, I was responsible for every single thing that I did, and it was there. It's there for the rest of time. But this, it's kind of different. Like, it's very nice to just go, okay, I'm going to give you this line five different ways, and then you decide which one you like the best. And it's kind of out of your hands after that. So,
yeah,
it's also with DuckTales in particular, Frank Angonias and Matt Youngberg, the guys that do it. I think they're absolutely phenomenal. It's one of the highest quality cartoons that I'm on. Like they've knocked it out of the park, and they know what they're doing, and they have a very clear path, and they're very funny guys, and they make it super easy. And we get to improvise a lot, and it's a really fun one to do. This season of DuckTales is insane.
And is the quality good because it's obviously written for kids, but adults can watch it too, kind of thing? Or is it just?
I also think Frank and Matt, the guys that are doing it, were such giant fans of the original DuckTales. I just think it's in the perfect hands. Mm-hmm. It's in the hands of people who love the show and understand that when they loved the show, the people who love the show now have children who are going to watch it with them, not just watch it. They're going to watch it with them. It's probably for the adults more than the kids at this point, but it's just, they knew the fan base, and they knocked it out of the park. It's hard to reboot something and get it right. And I think not only did they get it right, they made it better in my mind.
Yeah, that's hard. You're right. Cause people get very entrenched in, you know, the original of something.
You know, it's like SNL and the Yankees. Everyone's like, you know, it's my team. It's my show. And they have ownership over it. So,
I worked on The Daily Show for a long time, and mm-hmm. and I don't work there now. And so you get these questions where they try to bait you, like you'll be at a party. And you're like, SNL with Trevor Noah, what do you think of that show? And I can tell, like, they want me to, like, you know, say it's not the show that I worked on with Kilborn and with Jon Stewart And I'm just like, you know, it's good. It's his own thing, man. You got to make it. It's not especially easy to take over a franchise. You know, it's not easy.
No, not easy. I always like the misdirect too in interviews of like, so how long were you on the show, and did you like it, and who was the worst host?
Exactly. Or you get this one. So what,
some nice questions, and then the salacious questions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I work on the Late Show with Colbert now, right? So I get this present tense and past tense. I get. So what was Jon Stewart? Seems like a fun. The same thing, Mr. X. Seems like a fun guy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he is. Seems really smart. Yeah. What was he really like? Okay, so you want me to now shit on my friend? Okay. Well, you know what? He fucks puppies every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday he fucks puppies and does blow. Like, what do you want me to say? You know, like,
I can't believe they don't air that.
Exactly. It's like, it makes us laugh around the show. I'll tell you that. Hey, you know, I thought your sitcom, Me, Myself, and I, was really good.
You were the one.
Yeah, I was doing as much. I had a sandwich board. I was walking around Manhattan telling people watch it. I threatened to give people the coronavirus if they didn't. I was way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, no. Wow, I was you were way ahead of your time.
I know. I was eating bats before anybody. So
patient zero.
Exactly. That's a new sitcom. It followed the life of Alex Riley, right? Which was like, which I liked about it was followed your character as a 14-year-old boy, a 40-year-old man, which you played, and a 65-year-old man who played by John Larroquette.
Three different timelines.
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly. It looked exactly like John Larroquette. That's what I'll look like.
Exactly. And the snarky. So yeah. did you find that process of, you know, now you're starring in a sitcom, obviously part of the showrunner process, I would assume, in some ways overseeing the voice of the show. But the process, it was single camera, right?
Yes. Was it? I don't even know. Yeah, it wasn't in front of a studio audience.
Right.
I always get that confused. But yes, it was that. At last, we did 13 episodes, and then it was canceled immediately.
But what was it about that you found different in terms of process than doing SNL, for example?
And what that was,
you know?
Yeah, that was super different. I'm coming off of SNL with a family. A new family, just gotten married and had a kid. And I was like, you know, I read the script and I fell in love with it. I thought it was great. And then I got out here and I had eight days after my daughter was born, we flew to LA and like started shooting. So it was like, I went from being a dad to like 16 hour days and went like, oh boy, this is a lot and crazy. But, it was definitely an eye opener going from like a show like SNL which is you're up, I mean, like 48 hour days, sleep for 2 hours, go back, you know, like leave for work on Thursday and get back home Sunday afternoon after being up all night. And then very, very different was coming in at 9 a.m., rehearsing your lines with Jaleel White for an hour and then getting two takes because Jaleel's a master and you know, and then being on your way. It was a lot easier. In ways, but also less challenging. And I'm on a new sitcom now, Tina Fey show that's coming out. Well, hopefully come out at some point, who knows now, but, it's very different, very different. I'm not a put upon dad. I'm playing much more of a character that I enjoy. You know, I think I'm more suited for, and it's insane. It's a lot of fun and I hope we get to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I read about that, but I wasn't sure if it was coming on or not. It sounds really interesting, and you get to work with Tina, which is awesome.
Yeah, she's the greatest. She's been absolutely wonderful to me. Yeah, we started shooting a couple episodes and then had to stop.
Yeah, yeah. When you're doing character work or impressions or whatever, like how conscious of you is putting your own imprimatur on it? Like that's a Bobby vibe, if you will, or whatever, right? Whether it's an original character, an impression, you know, everybody's bringing their own thing to the table. Is that in the forefront of your mind, or does that just sort of come because it's coming out of you? Like, you know, like Mark Payne was a character that I thought was really funny that I really liked that you did.
Yeah,
I
mean,
all of the, yeah. But that's just one example, what is that like a little bit in that process for you?
Well, I think what SNL taught me was definitely like you have your time and your place. You know, it's like a baseball team. It's like everyone has skills and everyone works at the same job, but everyone has different skill sets. And that's what I learned at SNL, which is like, I'm pretty weird and I like being weird. And my like standalone characters would get on like after update towards the end of the show because they were bizarre, and a lot of my characters came back twice and then never came back because like it was just like I got this weird thing on once and then like we tried it again and they were like, you know what, that is really weird. But like I learned that like I excelled on update, like I did really well when like it was like, oh, I get 5 minutes just to be myself and kind of improvise with Seth and you pick and you learn your things, but then, you know, you're a character in somebody else's sketch and you're like, oh God, I want to crush. And I really want to, you know, do this, but you know, you're not the main focus. That's somebody else's thing. So you got to pick and choose your battles. And
yeah,
I kind of learned that there.
Yeah. There is a, you know, I found that too, working in TV, there is a, I don't know, this may not be the right word, so correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a sort of a political aspect to it in the sense of sort of, you know, and people who don't work in the business don't kind of understand, like they go like, well, why doesn't so-and-so do whatever? Or like I have my cousin go, why don't you get your own TV show now? I'm like, okay, I'm just going to call NBC and say I'm ready. You know, like,
that's a great, I never thought of that.
Yeah. But there are a lot of other factors that go in and then you still have to be super creative and talented like you guys are and come up with it. And I know other people that have worked there and that that, and just in general in sitcoms or whatever, it is a life and world unto itself where there's the dynamics of all these personalities off camera that have to work together. But see, it's all subjective too, because something that you call a weird character, I guess I gravitate towards your stuff, but like I really liked, and who's to say that your weird character wouldn't play for as well nationally for years and years as someone else's character? That's ultimately one or two people's decisions at the show, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there were definitely moments like that. It was like you would write something that would crush all week and then it would get cut and you would be confused. And then you would write something that wasn't that great because you were tired that week and it would get in and you'd get on the show and you're kind of like, oh, well, All right.
Did you ever, just to finish up, because I know we got to wrap, did you ever get a feedback as to help you figure out like, well, boy, that crushed all week. Why didn't that go? Or this didn't do so well all week and it went, like, to kind of give you a kind of a roadmap a little bit? Or was it just like,
no, in the beginning, I think it was more like childish. Like I was like, why did it get cut? Like, I didn't understand. Like, I was like, why? Like,
yeah.
And you know, it would be like, well, the set was too big. And like now after 9 years of being on the show, I would be like, oh, the set was fine. It just wasn't fun. It was just, you know, there's also times where it's like, it's 10 seconds too long. So it's cut. And you're just like, it doesn't matter how funny it is. Sometimes we have to, you know, get to a commercial break or somebody went too long in a different sketch and your sketch got cut.
Yeah.
So the deadening of the nerves of that is like now I'm working on a cartoon right now.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm writing and doing it. It's improvised. A lot of my friends and if this fails, it's your fault. You know, you can't blame it on, you know, SNL. You can't just go like, well, it was a rough week. Like, it's all your fault.
Yeah. Well, it's season 3, premiere Saturday, April 4th, at Disney XD and Disney Now, DuckTales. Louis Duck.
They did an amazing job. This season is phenomenal.
Well, everybody check it out. And great talking to you again and seeing you again, man. Hopefully if I come to LA or you're in New York and we can get on a stage together again, that'd be awesome. But congrats on all the success, man.
A year and a half.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Bobby Moynihan, everybody. All right, there you go. Bobby Moynihan, great guy, super funny, and he's got a new sitcom coming out, hopefully, after all this craziness with Tina Fey. So I'm psyched to see that. And go to my YouTube channel, and please subscribe. We've got a lot of cool videos there and some stuff about the pandemic and things you can do to kill some time and not lose your mind. And please stay safe out there, folks, and we will see you next week on the show.